Blog Talk Radio.
It's Disabled Veteran Radio. My name is Bill Apgar, 100% permanent total disabled veteran with PTSD. Ah! He's crazy. What are you going to be talking about today, Bill? Well, I'm going to be talking about how to not get so mad. Well, how you do that, Bill? You know, I had this little John McCain piece that I did on Blog Talk Radio the other day. I took that little John McCain piece where he's saying, "Get out of here, you low-life scum." So I was like talking like I was talking to John McCain. It was pretty funny. So you got to go to BillApgar.com. If you'd like to keep Disabled Veteran Radio on the air, how do you do that? You log into Bill Apgar, A as in Apple, P as in Paul, G as in Grapefruit, A as in Apple, R as in Radio. But why do you do this show, Bill? Well, the reason that we do this show is because we're trying to get all disabled veterans fully compensated. You know, because they were misdiagnosed with a personality disorder. And also, guess what? Some story from 1963 may help the disabled veterans. And it has to do with a gay guy. How do you like that? I'll tell you about that. Hey, if a gay guy's going to help me get fully compensated, I'm in for saying, come on, gay guy. I like all people, man. You know, I play songs for everybody. You know, but I just get mad sometimes when I have to talk to the other, you know. Well, you know, I don't know. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today here on Disabled Veteran Radio for March the 10th, 2015, 7 days away from St. Patrick's Day. I've got my St. Patrick's Day shirt on, but I don't have my blue suede shoes on. No, I don't. We just finished listening to the Cool Invention Show, so let's get rocking and rolling. Once again, March the 10th, 2015 for Disabled Veteran Radio.
Hi, you're back.
I'm back.
Oh, good.
You hung up on me.
I was just saying that, you know, our connection is our producer, Billy, who once helped get you into a straitjacket at your act.
Oh,
and
well.
You had it half right. You had it half right. If you'd gotten him into a straitjacket, the world would have been a better place for you and me.
That's it.
Dr. David Banner, physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strength that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation interacts with his unique body chemistry. And now when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crying in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
The creature is driven by rage and pursued by an investigative reporter.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Sexual traumatized victims of the Catholic Church, what do they have? They have national media attention, a big fat paycheck, and they're not called mental, but disabled veterans.
An accidental explosion took the life of a fellow scientist, and supposedly David Banner as well. The reporter thinks the creature was responsible.
I gave a description to all the law enforcement agencies. I got a warrant for murder out of them.
A murder which David Banner can never prove he or the creature didn't commit. So he must let the world go on thinking that he too is dead, until he can find a way to control the raging spirit that dwells within him.
PTSD!
God damn it! My life has value!
Get up there with that lady that's up on top of this Capitol Hill. That lady that stands for liberty. Take a look at this country through her eyes if you really want to see something. And you won't just see scenery. You'll see the whole parade of what man's carved out for himself after centuries of fighting. And fighting for something better than just jungle law. Fighting so as he can stand on his own 2 feet, free and decent, like he was created. No matter what his race, color, or creed. There's no place out there for graft, or greed, or lies, or compromise with human liberty. You all think I'm licked. Well, I'm not licked. And I'm going to stay right here and fight for this lost cause. Even if this room gets filled with lies like these.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You ain't nothing but hate.
Get ready now, go, can't go, but don't you step on my
like a plummet over fruit jar. Do anything that you wanna do. Come on and lay off of my shoes and don't do. Jump on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but lay over my blue suede shoe.
On his head with those blue suede shoes.
This is Disabled Veteran Radio for March the 10th, 2015. It's 12 minutes after 4 here in Bradenton, Florida. It's nice and sunshiny out today with highs reaching close to 90. Wow, and I've been sitting inside all day. I had some cash to blow, but then I blew it somewhere else. Hey, but we have cash for our radio show, baby. That's right. That's why we do this program, because maybe somebody's listening. Maybe somebody says, hey, I think Bill, along with the thousands of other disabled veterans, need to be fully compensated because he was misdiagnosed with a personality disorder. Yeah, his psychiatrist that he's been seeing for over 2 years, Dr. Morales, a nice lady who looks like Janice DeWitt from Three's Company, you know, nice Christian-y female lady who says that I should have been diagnosed with PTSD on the date of discharge. Who else says that? The Government Office of Accountability came out with a report in 2008. They say it as well. But listen to this. Listen to this letter from the Department of Veterans Affairs at James No Gosh Darn Help Haley Hospital, which I called yesterday because I got a lump in my throat and I want to get it checked out. And you got to leave a message. You got to leave a message on the machine. And then the lady calls you back and says, oh, we don't know if we can get you in this month to get it checked out. That's what's going on now over there. I got a little lump over here in my throat I want to get checked out. Well, anyways, here's the letter in response to... This is response to your concern with your mental health provider at the Newport Richey VA Outpatient Clinic as expressed to staff at the Veterans Integrated Service Network, VISN. That's where that is. It's over in St. Pete, over in the Franklin Templeton building, up on the sixth floor. Dr. Glenn Catilano, Association Chief of Staff for the Mental Health and Behavioral Science Service at James A. Haley Veterans Hospital and Clinics, reviewed your concerns. You were concerned about statements made indicating that you should have been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder at the time of discharge, but that your provider was unable to indicate this in your medical record because she feared termination. Your medical record has been reviewed and your psychiatrist documented your diagnosis of PTSD and anxiety disorder due to the military sexual trauma on several occasions, including administrator's notes as May 15, 2014, and the time you last contacted her on July 18, 2014. Review from the senior management staff from the Mental Health and Behavioral Science Service indicates that the diagnosis and the associated documentation are completely inappropriate, given your psychiatrist's assessment. No consequences are being considered with regard to your psychiatrist regarding this care. A representative tried to reach you by phone February 24th, 2015. We strive to provide exceptional customer service to our veterans. Yeah, sure. And their families. Sure. If we can be additional service, please do not hesitate to contact your attending psychiatrist at the Newport Richey VA Outpatient Clinic. Well, I did. She says that I should be diagnosed with PTSD on the date of discharge. And who says that I can't be diagnosed? This is Marjorie Hedstrom. She's the interim director at VISN. Yep, see there? Now watch this story now. Here, a long time ago. Now, a gay fellow might help me get paid. If it's so, then I'm going to say, woohoo, I'm going to the gay pride parade. Archibald Cox became a liberal icon for his battles against the Nixon White House. But in 1963, he fought to keep a fired air traffic controller from getting back to work on account of immoral acts. Archibald Cox is remembered today as one of the legal heroes of his time. Cox was a pediatrician, bow tie and wearing Harvard Law School professor who was appointed Watergate special prosecutor in 1973. His upcoming pursuit of the evidence, including secret White House tapes, triggered the events that led to President Richard Nixon's resignation. But newly unearthed legal findings reveals another less well-known chapter in Cox's career. His efforts to uphold the firing of a federal air traffic controller on the grounds that the man had admitted during a background check to engaging in homosexual acts as a 19-year-old college student, describing homosexuality as a personality disorder and homosexual contact as acts of disgraceful personal conduct. Cox, who was then serving as President John F. Kennedy's Solicitor General in 1963, filed a brief with the Supreme Court opposing a bid by the air traffic controller William Due to be reinstated. Cox conceded in his brief that there was no question about Due's ability to perform his job. Still, he argued the Federal Aviation Agency was within its rights to fire him because his co-workers might be disturbed or adversely affected by the presence of a person who had committed immoral acts of the kind here involved. Read the Cox brief. The brief was co-signed by three other government lawyers. Cox died in 2004, and it is impossible to know from the record what role he personally played in shaping the U.S. government legal case against the air traffic controller. But this week, Cox's anti-gay legal argument is being prominently featured by the gay civil rights group in its own filing with the Supreme Court. The Cox briefing, the group contends, is striking evidence of what it describes as decades of federal government, oh man, this is a hard word for me right here, animus against homosexuality. Officially sanctioned prejudice that the group contends is at the root of the current state bans against same-sex marriages. Who's talking out there? Who are you talking to out there? When he discovered the Cox legal brief in the files of the National Archives, it took my breath away, said Charles Francis, president of the Society of Washington, D.C., which is filing its brief this week. It's a stunning expectation to his liberal pro-civil rights legacy that he would write something as hostile to homosexuals as this. This was the Kennedy administration. It's not the Dark Ages. For the past several years, the Machete Society of Washington, I guess that's how you say it, the Mattachine Society of Washington, a revised version of a group originally founded in 1961, has been seeking to document evidence of the U.S. government's persecution of homosexuals following Freedom of Information Act lawsuits that have unearthed thousands of government files showing that how gay workers were banned from employment and hounded from federal jobs. Some of these records are now being used by the group in its brief to the Supreme Court in Obergefell versus Hodges, the same-sex marriage case that will be argued before the justice next month. The Machete Society brief, written by lawyers from the major D.C. firm of McDermott, Will, and Emery, takes the same basic position as the Obama administration, though with far different details. It argues that same-sex marriage bans are the product of individuals and unconstitutional discrimination that was sanctioned by high-level government officials for years. A copy of the brief with links to the original document, including Cox's memo, is available online. The brief, for example, cites cites a September 7, 1951 memo by FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover titled Sex Deviants in the United States Government. Hoover's memo authorized a sharp expansion in the Bureau's efforts to identify deviants in the federal workforce when conducting investigations into the loyalty of government workers and information is received, indicating the person under investigation is a sex deviant. This allegation could be completely and fully developed, Hoover wrote in the memo. Among the steps Hoover ordered, the Bureau should consolidate information obtained from local police departments or any other source, including cataloging the name of the alleged sex deviant as well as the name of the other deviants with whom he associated, along with the date and place and the alleged act of sexual perversion occurred. That's crazy. That's crazy thinking back then. That's crazy that gay people got fired. They shouldn't have got fired. The brief also traces how the FBI's sex deviant program, fed by the fears that gay workers could be blackmailed by communists, super sives, the led President Dwight Eisenhower in 1953 to sign Executive Order 10450, sweeping decree that's specifically named sexual perversion as among the grounds for barring a worker for a federal job. The order was then rigidly enforced and even expanded by the U.S. Civil Service Commission, most vigorously by its later chairman, John W. McKay, a Kennedy appointee who continued to serve under President Lyndon B. Johnson and into the early years of the Nixon administration, according to the documents uncovered by the Mattachine Society, and it cited this in this week's brief. When Frank Kamey, a gay civil rights activist who originally found the Mattachine Society and others, met with Macy in September 1965 to argue that private counsel out of working hours, homosexual conduct posed no security threat and should therefore not be barred to employment, they got a stinging rejection letter from him. In a massive date dated February 25, 1966, Macy laid out his case. Pertaining consideration here at the are the revulsions of other employees by homosexual conducts and consequent disturbances of service efficiency, the apprehension caused other employees of homosexual advances, solicitation or assaults, and unfavorable subjections of the sexual deviant to erotic stimulation through on-the-job use of common toilet, shower, you know, whatever. The basic position that the presence of gay workers was disruptive to the efficiency of the federal workforce played out in the case of Dew, who, like Cox, has been who has since died, an Air Force veteran who served during Korea War. Dew, who was an African American, had initially got a job as a CIA file clerk to obtain his security clearance. He was required to submit a polygraph test and admitting to having engaged in at least four unnatural sex acts with males in 1950 when he was a teenage in college in North Carolina. Dew was then permitted to resign from the CIA later in 1956. He landed a new federal job with the Civil Aeronautics Authority. The procedure of the FAA as an air traffic controller in Denver, he is believed to have been the first African-American to hold such a position. Congratulations to him, promoting Francis, who reached his case to label Dew the Jackie Robinson of air traffic controllers. At that point, Dew was married man with a baby on his way. He saw the light, but his past soon caught up with him. In May, it always does, right? In May 1958, no complaints about his service as an air traffic controller. He was shocked, according to the Mattachine Society brief, to receive a letter informing him that he had been deemed unsuitable for his position based on his previous pre-employment admission that he engaged in homosexual acts. Dew spent the next 6 years challenging his dismissal, both before federal appeals examiners and in federal court, arguing that his firing had been unrelated to his job performance and violated preferences he was due as an Air Force veteran. When his case finally reached the Supreme Court in 1963, there is some evidence in one document uncovered in Civil Service Commission files that Cox was initially unwilling to argue the government case because there was sufficient evidence of Dew's rehabilitation. But Cox did so anyway. His 1963 offers multiple arguments to refuse Dew's bid to get his federal job. Besides concerns that co-workers would be disturbed by Dew's past immoral conduct, the bare commission of these acts raised legitimate doubts as to Dew's reliability. Cox wrote in his briefing asking the Supreme Court to deny hearing in Dew's case. In the end, Cox and the FAA did not prevail. The Supreme Court agreed to hear Dew's case, and the FAA quickly chose to settle, reinstating him and paying him $12,000 in back wages. So there you go. But the I still don't know how you say this. The Mattachine Society argues in its brief that this was only a tactical retreat to avoid an adverse Supreme Court ruling. The Civil Service Commission tightened its standards, requiring clear and definite information of evidence of homosexuality and sexual perversion, not merely past conduct, but it continued to enforce the ban on gay workers for years to come. Although chipped away by the courts, the Eisenhower executive order was not formally reassigned until 1998 by President Bill Clinton. Hey, the Dew case taught the government that it had to tighten its procedures and find other ways to continue to ban the LGBT Americans from public employment. But the Mattachine Society argues in its brief, Mattachine, bada bang, come on over, baby. The government demonstrated its willingness to use all of its resources to crush homosexuals and those who engaged in homosexual acts with its suitable standards. Did they use cigars? The brief continues, never was a case of unanimous? I know that Bill got it in his unanimous against a group of citizens so obvious, and the irony that is that Dew was not even a homosexual. He got married later on. Anyway, here it goes to show you that this guy who engaged in homosexual acts when he was younger, that he decided to get married, that he worked as he was in the Air Force, then he was an FAA instructor, got fired because they considered what he'd done that he had a personality disorder. And my current VA psychiatrist, Dr. Morales, who I love her to death, looks like Janice DeWitt, says that I should have been diagnosed with PTSD on the date of discharge, that I was misdiagnosed like thousands of other disabled veterans were. But Marjorie Hedstrom, the interim director at Vision 8, who's the boss of all the other people, James Haley and Bay Pines, says no. And so does the psychiatrist, Dr. Ballard. I hate to say it. I mean, I know, but it shouldn't mean anything. Yes, it does mean something. Here we go. Here's our live phone number, 941-745-1490. This is Disabled Veteran Radio. You're on the air. Hello? Hello? Up the hunt up. Anyway, all I'm saying is I need to be fully compensated. If this guy who worked for the FAA could get fully compensated back in 1963, by God, I could get fully compensated, right? Right. I got a bad case of loving somebody. I don't know who it is, but I'm loving a phone caller if they can reach out. 941-745-1490. 28 minutes past the hour here, Disabled Veteran Radio, and we're glad you're listening. It's nice and sunshiny outside, and I'm going to play a song, and I'm going to see who's talking out in the hallway. Thanks a lot. This is Disabled Veteran Radio. My name is Bill Apgar, 100% permanent total disabled veteran with PTSD. Hey, anybody listening out there that wants to help a straight, heterosexual, 100% permanent total disabled veteran have a nice meal after the radio show? I brought my stepbrother with me, and let me tell you, he can eat. Oh, yeah. He can eat all right. He'll eat your whole buffet, and he'll eat your tables and chairs. No, I don't say. I joke about my stepbrother, but he can eat. He can eat.
Yeah.
He likes to eat. That's for sure, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I know. Oh yeah. But why do we do this show? Yeah, we need a free meal. If you're listening, 941-745-1490, and you'd like to feed us. 941-745-1490. You want to hear a song? You have a complaint? Oh, there was nothing positive about what you were saying on Facebook. You know, I was asked to join a group about helping out disabled veterans, so when I post something as a white Christian male in there, then I'm flagged by the gay guy or the transgender guy, and then I, you know, if I say, then they've taken all my postings down. It was getting nice and juicy, but I, you're a white guy, you're straight, you can't comment on what we're talking about. We're just going to shove it down your throat like we shoved a grease gun right up your hiney. So don't tell me there's any different. How can you be the same? I'm not the same as the guy that puts on a wig. Sorry. I'm not the same as Adam and Steve. I believe in the Bible. Yeah, I'll engineer the radio shows and pray with them and whatever. But when it comes to Veterans Administration stuff, I have a say that I want to say. And it's right for me to say that, because it's America. Anyway, over and above that, I love everybody. I just hate it when everybody wants to tell you that you can't say that or you can't talk like that or da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever. Buy your own radio show and you can say what you want to say. To a point, you know, you don't want to get on here hollering, cursing, and ranting and raving, which I've done on my other little piddly wee watt blog talk radio program that you could have yours for $39.99 a month. And they're supposed to put some little things on the front of their website for you to get people to listen to your show, you know. Ah, he hates everybody. Ooh. Man, I hope my message can get out there, man. What? You know, I like to be on other radio. I like this WWPR to be my flagship station and then get on other radio stations. And talk how the Veterans Administration is still cooking the books. How they're still lying. You know? I don't know, you know. Here's the part, that's what I'm saying, that perfect story. Back in the 60s. That guy, he got slapped with a personality disorder. But, you know, he got his money. Well, I think I should get my money.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody.
I do need some help. You want to hear that one? Let's do the Beatles' Help on Disabled Veteran Radio.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
When I was young, was so much younger than today.
I never needed anybody's help in any way.
Now these days are gone and I'm not so self-assured.
Now I find I've changed my mind and open up the doors.
Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round.
Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me?
Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you
This is Disabled Veteran Radio. Hold on a second, man. Valerie, I think we have a person listening. I like this when we get calls. What, sir? Can I put you on the air and ask you what your program would be about, and then I'll tell you who to call? Is that okay?
Sure.
Oh, what's your name?
Ronaldo Craig.
Hey, Ronaldo Craig, and what kind of program would you like to do?
Oh, it's not a TV program. It's a commercial I'm looking to do.
Oh, okay. Well, the lady to call, her name is Valerie, and she's usually here during the day. 941-745-1490 is the number to call her, you know. And what I'll do is I'll get your phone number right now, and then I'll write it down, and then I'll text it to her, and then you'll be able to get your message on here, like a 60-second public service announcement?
It's for a product.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. All right, hold on. Ronaldo, right?
Yes.
All right, there's Ronaldo. We're going to take his information here on Disabled Veteran Radio and get it to the owner, Valerie. Hopefully she'll let me stay on another hour today. And we're hungry down here. Anybody listening here in Bradenton that can come down to the radio station and feed us, please. This here Bill Apgar, 100% permanent total disabled veteran with PTSD, saying we should fully compensate disabled veterans today that were misdiagnosed with a personality disorder. Should have been PTSD. Hold on, I got to get Ronaldo's information for Valerie here on Disabled Veteran Radio. The Knack and My Sharona.
Bye.
I like his song. .443 live here in Bradenton, Florida. That's the other side of the Sunshine Skyway. Over here in Manatee County, we're reaching into St. Petersburg and Tampa. This here is Bill Apgar, 100% permanent total disabled veteran with PTSD, looking to get fully compensated for being misdiagnosed on the date of discharge. That's why we do this radio program. I've been talking to, Ronaldo Craig, right?
Yes, it is.
All right, I got your information there. I'm going to give it to Valerie. What's the gospel song that you were thinking of?
Donnie McClurkin.
What is it?
Donnie McClurkin.
Yeah. Okay, wait a minute. Now, what's the name of that one?
I Give You Praise.
I Give...
You Praise.
You Praise. Let me see. Who's that one that sings that top 40 gospel song?
He's a good artist.
Donnie McClurkin, Just Want to Praise You. Is that the name of it?
No, I Give You Praise.
I Give You Praise. I hear Donnie McClurkin. There's Donnie McClurkin. It's You I Give the Glory To.
Okay, that's fine.
Is that one?
You can play that one if you can't find the other one.
Oh, okay. And this is a pretty good one, too?
I'm not familiar with it, but I listen now.
You've heard this one right here? All right, this here's for Ronaldo Craig, good Christian brother out in New York who's calling WWPR to get his program on air. He was just cruising around and found the WWPR website. That's correct, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. This here's for Ronaldo Craig. This here's Donnie McClurkin, a gospel singer. It is To You I Give the Glory here on Disabled Veteran Radio. Thank you, Ronaldo.
Thank you, sir.
All right, buddy.
And I will praise your name forevermore. Help me say, it is to you I give the glory. It is to you I give the praise. 'Cause you've done so much. For you praise.
This is Disabled Veteran Radio. This is Bill Apgar. There's Donnie McClurklin. It is you I give glory for. That's for this guy that called in Reginald Craig from New York, who was cruising the internet and found WWPR. I have as a guest today on the line a man who's been in radio in the Tampa Bay area for quite a long time. He's very inspiring and influential. I guess that's a good word. He's Ronnie Night Train Lane. He's on the line. Hey, Ronnie! How you doing?
What is up, Bill, on this beautiful Tuesday?
Yeah, where are you at? It's like 85, almost 90 degrees outside, right, Ronnie?
Yeah, it's about 85. I'm sitting on the water in downtown St. Pete.
Oh, you're on the water? Are you having dinner?
No, I rode my bike downtown from northeast St. Pete, so I'm just kind of hanging out, chilling, getting some things done by the waterside.
You know what? You're sounding really good on 99.1. What's the other stations that you're on there?
My main gig is hosting a sports talk radio show with my man Seagrass. He's from New York, but we're on from 9 to noon Eastern, Monday through Friday on 620 WDAE, or you can pick us up via the iHeartRadio platform.
Well, you're also doing the Music Format show too, right? I've been listening to you on there.
That's classic rock.
What's the station?
Thunder.
Yeah, what's the station?
Thunder Across the Bay. It's several frequencies in Tampa Bay, but the easiest way to listen to us is via the iHeartRadio app.
Oh yeah, that's the pretty popular app that everybody's been talking about to get into their cars. What do you see the future of radio going? Do you see more technology like satellite type of radio as far as Sirius satellite is concerned?
Well, I see more technology like what our company is doing. Actually, our company used to be Clear Channel. It switched the name to iHeartMedia.
Oh, wow.
For that reason, we have so many different platforms, and that's Clear Channel that has the iHeartRadio platform. So we have hundreds, actually thousands of radio stations on that platform. Plus, you can also build your own radio stations. So it's very creative. It's free. And check it out sometime.
So if you have a newer car, then you can download the iHeartRadio app to your car, correct?
You don't even need a car. You just download it to your phone, any of your mobile devices. You can get the app.
Oh wow! And you can listen to all the radio stations where your favorite radio station in some state that you haven't heard in for years, right?
Absolutely. Any format you can think of, you can make up your own format. It will create a station for you. It's pretty cool, man.
Oh,
that's where it's headed.
And what are you excited about the new Buccaneers season? Who's the quarterback going to be? Do you think it's going to be James Winston?
More than likely, unless he does something really stupid, which he's been known to do in the past. So,
hey, I mean, we're all human, right? We're all human, right?
Yeah, we all make mistakes from time to time, but it's time for that kid to grow up. You know, he's looking at millions of dollars. He doesn't want to, mess that up.
Huh. Wow, and you'll be right there with, give us all the play-by-play people on the Buccaneers Network?
Yeah, I'm part of the Buccaneers Radio Network, so we're anxiously anticipating seeing what the Bucs are going to do during free agency, and then, of course, seeing what they do with the draft coming up at the end of April.
You and Gene Deckerhoff, and who's the other cat that I know that I used to produce his show? What's that? T.J. Reeves, right?
Yep, T.J. Reeves, Gene Deckerhoff.
You,
Dave Moore, myself, Tom Krasnicki, and of course my man Anthony Beck, dog.
Hey, did you ever meet one of the camera guys that's always out there? He's got a bakery in Dunedin. He goes by Charlie Biscotti. You ever meet that guy?
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
Charlie. How's he doing?
Yeah, he just finished his the Italian festival in Safety Harbor. Hey, you know what? A big festival down here, which was successful. That was the Bradenton River Regatta Walk. Did you go to that?
No, I didn't. I didn't even know about it.
It was the first annual. It was like 2 weeks ago, and they had over 100,000 people there. Hey, one last question before I let you go. What would be the chance of me getting Disabled Veteran Radio on getting it on there, playing some rock and roll songs, talking about disabled veterans issues? Could you help me out with that?
I don't have any control over that, but what I would do if I were you when you're done is go to iHeartRadio.com and see what you have to do to get on that platform.
Oh, all right. Excellent. All right. All right, there he is, Ronnie Night Train Lane, his own sports show on 620. What time is it again?
9 to noon, Monday through Friday, my brother.
And what's your website? Don't you got your own website yet, like RonnieNightTrainLane.com?
No, it's with the station, 620 WDAE. Ronnie and T-Crass is the name of the show.
Oh, you can't have, you're not allowed to have your own website, I would imagine, since you're on 620.
Well, you can, but I'm just not that techno-savvy like you are.
Well, no, man, you're the guy. You're part of the Q105. You're part of the Q105 crew, man. You and Roger Showman and all those cats, man. I have respect for you guys.
Yeah, but you know, we're old school. We were before the internet.
All right, give us something positive, something to think about before you leave.
It's an old one, man. Just treat people the way you want to be treated, and we'll all be fine.
All right, that sounds good. From Ronnie Night Train Lane. Thank you, sir.
All right, Bill, take care, baby.
All right, there he is, Ronnie Night Train Lane. He says, just be good. Don't be starting nothing, unless you're the VA. Then if you're the VA, then we have to be starting something. We don't want to be starting something. Maybe we'll be on the radio station with Ronnie Night Train Lane. I like it, 99.1. 1-888-761-1490. This is Disabled Veteran Radio. I don't know if I'm allowed to have another hour. I'm going to have to ask Valerie. Valerie, can I have another hour, please?
Listening to AM 1490 WWPR, Bradenton, Sarasota, Tampa Bay.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Hillary Clinton is insisting that she did not violate any rules by using a private email account as Secretary of State.
Clinton said she opted to use her personal email account for government business as a matter of convenience.
Looking back, it would have been probably smarter to have used two devices.
Breaking her silence during a 20-minute news conference, Clinton said she fully complied by every rule. She said she has turned over all work-related emails to the State Department, has discarded thousands of personal emails, and that her server will remain private. Greg Clugston, SRN News, The White House.
State Department spokeswoman Jen Psaki says they plan to publish those emails online once they're reviewed.
We will review the entire 55,000-page set and release in one batch at the end of that review to ensure that standards are consistently applied throughout the entire 55,000 pages.
Clinton maintains that she didn't send any classified material through that account. Also at SRNNews.com, 34 people have been killed by a teenage girl's suicide bomber at a crowded market in northeastern Nigeria. No group immediately claimed responsibility for the bombing, but it bears the hallmarks of Nigeria's Islamic extremist group Boko Haram. The market is where suicide bombers on Saturday detonated explosives that killed 54 people. Immigration expert Mark Krikorian says Republican Party leaders are partly to blame for a failure to approve legislation defunding the president's executive actions on illegal immigration.
Their heart just really wasn't in it. They kind of wanted this to go away. They wanted to get DHS funded and off the table in a way that was going to cause themselves as little political problems as possible.
Krikorian tells the Salem Radio Network GOP leaders have failed to make the argument the president's actions violate the Constitution. On Wall Street, a rough day as the Dow is down by 333 points. The Nasdaq dropped 83. This is SRN News.
Hi, I'm eHarmony.com founder Dr. Neil Clark Warren. From the very beginning, eHarmony has helped Christians find their perfect soulmate. And I'm so proud to share with you that 950,000 marriages have started on eHarmony.com. Most of those marriages are between two dedicated Christian persons. After years away, I'm back as CEO of eHarmony.com, and I am deeply committed to the importance of maintaining a strong allegiance to everything Christian marriage stands for. Who you marry will have more impact on your happiness than almost any other decision you make. We promise to do everything in our power to help you succeed. Make sure you trust this sacred task to a company that accounts for 438 married members every day. Go to eHarmony.com and get started today for free.
Hundreds of baton-wielding police in Myanmar have broken up a demonstration by students who say a new law stifles academic freedom.
Myanmar is watching what happens in Lepadon very closely. Ostensibly, the students were protesting about a controversial education bill. But Burmese history shows that if demonstrations are badly handled, they can quickly gather momentum and broader support. The police stepped in after students tried to force their way out of a monastery to continue their march towards Yangon. Details are still emerging, but after an hour of tense confrontation, the police appear to have lost patience and begun arresting the demonstrators, some of them violently.
That's BBC correspondent Jonah Fisher reporting from Yangon, Myanmar. Three British schoolgirls who traveled to Syria to join the Islamic State group won't be prosecuted for terrorism if they return. That's according to a senior British police officer. Police chiefs also defended their handling of the case. This is SRN News. Senators from both parties appear increasingly frustrated with President Obama's nearly year-long refusal to provide arms to the Ukrainian military.
Members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee are asking why it's taking so long to provide Ukraine with the arms it needs to defend itself against Russian aggression. The frustration was palpable when Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland testified about the latest developments in Ukraine.
Just in the last few days, we can confirm new transfers of Russian tanks, armored vehicles, heavy artillery, and rocket equipment.
Nuland tells senators, for starters, the U.S. would like to see a complete ceasefire in all parts of eastern Ukraine and a pullback of all heavy weapons. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Capitol Hill.
The Obama administration is abandoning plans to ban a popular type of rifle ammunition. That decision came in the face of a flood of criticism from the public and from members of Congress. More details at SRNnews.com. I'm Keith Peters in Washington.
This is Disabled Veteran Radio for March the 10th, 2015, 5 minutes after 5. This here is Bill Apgar, 100% permanent total disabled veteran with PTSD. Ah! He's crazy. No, he's not. He just wants to be fully compensated like every other disabled veteran who wants to be fully compensated because they were given a misdiagnosis. Man, my mouth is watering. I almost feel like slobbering. Because they were given a misdiagnosis of a personality disorder on the date of discharge. And it should have been PTSD. Who says that? My current VA psychiatrist at the VA, Dr. Morales, who's been seeing me for over 2 years. Who else says that? The Government Office of Accountability, 2008 report. But are we paid yet? No. But that's why we do this program and play some songs at the same time. This is Disabled Veteran Radio. My name is Bill Apgar.
Hi, you're back.
I'm back.
Good.
You heard that from me.
I was just saying that, you know, our connection is our producer, Billy, who once helped get you into a straitjacket at your act.
Oh, and well.
You had it half right. You had it half right. If you'd gotten him into a straitjacket, the world would have been a better place
for you and me.
Hour number two. Hour number two.
Dr. David Banner, physician, scientist. Searching for a way to tap into the hidden strength that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation interacts with his unique body chemistry. And now, when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crying in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
The creature is driven by rage and pursued by an investigative reporter.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
What do they have? They have national media attention, a big fat paycheck, and they're not all mental, but disabled veterans.
accidental explosion took the life of a fellow scientist and supposedly David Banner as well. The reporter thinks the creature was responsible.
I gave a description to all the law enforcement agencies. I got a warrant for murder out of it.
A murder which David Banner can never prove he or the creature didn't commit. So he must let the world go on thinking that he too is dead, until he can find a way to control the raging spirit that dwells within him.
You PTSD! God damn it! My life has been...
Get up there with that lady! Hold on. I don't know what's going on. There's something wrong with this second hour. Now I don't even want to play. I'll try it one more time here. Let me restart this over here on this side. This is hour two. I don't know, it sounded like a fan or something. I'll try to play it again one more time. Hour two, go to the studio. This I pay for, this is the $39.99 I pay for Blog Talk Radio. And I could play it now, I guess. I got 56 minutes. Let me start it again. Hour two now. Let's see if this doesn't have the buzz in it. If it has the buzz, I'm just stopping it and check. I'll have to see what's going on. Here we go. Let's try it again. Disabled Veteran Radio, hour two from today, March the 10th, 2015.
This is Disabled Veteran Radio for March the 10th.
It's got a thing in it. I got to reload it up. All right, all the best. May God bless. That was hour number one. I'll try to set up hour number two here either later on or tomorrow. Thank you very much, and have a good night.